We want to read God's word this evening from the little book of Jude, almost at the end of the New Testament there, last but one. Book of Jude, and we're beginning at verse 1. We're going to read the first 15 verses of this book. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put ye in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. And the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Amen. We'll end there at verse 15. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of that portion of his word this night to all of our hearts. Verse 11 is our text tonight. Verse 11, it says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. The spelling there is a little different to how we might recognize it in the Old Testament, but we'll come to that as well later on. I want to preach tonight on three sure ways to go to hell. Three sure ways to go to hell. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to his word. Our Father, we do look to thee for help tonight as we come to thy word afresh. O Lord, every time we open it, we sense our own inadequacy and unworthiness in ever taking up thy word and handling the things of life. And we need thy help, and we cry out unto thee now to come and bless the word of God. And let thy word, Lord, work in hearts. Let it run in a free course. Let Christ be exalted tonight. We pray that as we consider this text of Scripture, even this theme, Lord, that thy word will come with power. Speak to the unconverted. We pray, Lord, that they might fear going down to hell. May it not be something that is distant from their mind and seldom ever thought about. We pray, Lord, that thou would bring home to the unconverted the reality that a soul can be lost in hell forever. And what an awful thought. We pray that tonight, Lord, there will be those that will flee to Christ. We thank thee there is a way of salvation. That is through the Lord Jesus. Have mercy, we ask of thee. Grant thy blessing to us now. Give me help from heaven to minister the word of God. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Jude here is outlining in this epistle the danger and also the end of those false teachers who had crept in unawares among the people of God. They are men who have never been converted. They're described here as ungodly men. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So they are men who have set themselves against the Lord Jesus Christ. And he highlights the fact here that they are men who are destined for condemnation in verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. So while he highlights the reality of this and even the danger of it, he also here marks out the end of these individuals. They're heading for condemnation. And really this epistle develops that theme as you work your way through these next verses. And that brings us down to our text in verse 11, because it commences here with the word woe. Woe unto them. And the them are these individuals that are mentioned in the earlier verses. These individuals who have come in, who do not know Jesus Christ, ungodly men, as we have said, and there is a woe that is pronounced against them. That word is always an exclamation of grief and trouble that is about to come. The woes of the Bible invariably point to coming ruin and coming judgment. There's a number of them in the book of the Revelation, but they're found other places as well. In fact, the very first use of that term, you have to go way back to the book of Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 29, and it says, "Woe to thee, Moab." And then it follows on, "Thou art undone, O people of Chemosh." And Chemosh was the name of their false god. That was the false god of the Moabites, Chemosh. And it says, "Woe to thee, Moab, thou art undone, O people of Chemosh." And if you bring those two thoughts together, woe to thee, thou art undone. That word undone there is normally in the Old Testament translated to perish or to destroy. And you know the law of the first mention in the Scriptures. Whether it's a particular word or a particular doctrine or a particular theme or even a person, find the first place where they're mentioned in the Scriptures, and it does indeed give you the key to understand that term the rest of the way through the Word of God. Well, Numbers 21, verse 29 gives you the first occurrence of the word woe in the Bible. And it ties in that next statement, "Thou art undone," or "Thou wilt perish, thou wilt be destroyed." Because there is that connection always with the word woe, that wherever it appears, it is the marker. It is the herald of coming judgment, even of destruction and eternal ruin. And that's what Jude is here indicating to us with regards to those individuals who know not the Lord and what is going to happen to them. Now our text goes a little further and explains why this woe is pronounced. And Jude here makes a comparison between the actions of these individuals as he's writing about in his book and certain individuals in the Old Testament. Three individual characters particularly are taken here. And he's making a comparison, and he's saying, in the same way that they ended up being destroyed and going down to destruction, that's what's going to happen to those in Jude's day who also deny the Lord and who do not know him. And that's what brings us here to think of these three characters tonight, Cain and Balaam and Korah, and to look at it under this particular heading, three sure ways to go to hell. Because what is set out here with regards to these particular men is certain things that characterize those that are going to perish. And that's why Jude here brings in this comparison with these individuals when he's speaking about those men of his day. There's certain things that are characteristic of these three individuals that took them down to destruction and took them down to hell, and it will take a multitude of others, sadly, as well. And we want to look at the three of these individuals tonight. First of all, then, those that go in the way of Cain. That's a sure way to go to hell. Because sadly, that's where Cain is. Cain's in hell, lost for all of eternity. And why is he there? He's there because of his rejection. His rejection of the blood atonement. His rejection of coming by the blood of the Lamb unto God. Cain rejected the way of the cross, and in rejecting the way of the cross, he perished as a result. And sadly, there are many tonight who are going to do the very same thing. And there are those who are in hell along with Cain, and there are those who are alive on the earth, and they're doing what Cain did, and they're going to end up in the same place as Cain ended up, because they're rejecting the blood atonement. Now, Cain was taught about the way of the cross. We were singing that hymn there, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. And there is no other way of salvation but by the way of the cross. We can't be in heaven some other way. There's not going to be many ways to heaven. There's not going to be those who will be in heaven. And some have come this way, and some have come another way, and some maybe have even come another way. There is but one way. There is but one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And we can only be in heaven by the way of the cross. And Cain was taught about the way of the cross, and he rejected the way of the cross. And that's why he perished. God taught the very first family about the need of a covering. And back there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, we read there about that covering that was provided to Cain's parents, where God had slain those animals and shed the blood of those animals to provide coats of skin for them. That which they had provided for themselves wasn't sufficient. As you'll know, Adam and Eve sewed the fig leaves together, and they tried to make themselves aprons to cover them, and they thought that that would be good enough. No, that was until the Lord appeared. And then they ran and hid themselves, for they realized that that holy eye of God, that all-seeing eye, that the fig leaf of their covering was never going to be enough. But God then provided them a covering. And he laid down this principle of a covering for sin that was going to be provided by the shedding of blood and the sacrifice that would come about as a result of that shedding of blood. Abel evidently knew about the way of the blood and the way of the cross, because it tells us there in chapter 4 of Genesis how that it came to pass in the process of time. And the margin tells you at the end of days, so it may well have been a Sabbath day, the Old Testament Sabbath day at the end of the week when that took place. But in the process of time, it tells us about the two of them coming before the Lord. And Abel comes by the blood of the lamb. And he takes a lamb out of the flock, and he slays that lamb, and he sheds the blood of that lamb. And on the basis of that shed blood, he comes to the Lord. And it tells us in the book of Hebrews there how the Lord accepted him. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. God accepted that which Abel did. God accepted the way that Abel came, because he came by the blood. He came by the way of sacrifice. Both of them knew about the way, but Cain chose to come his own way. He tried to come by the works of his own hands. The fruit of the ground he brought to God, thinking that the Lord would accept the work of his own hands, that which he had spent time and effort and sweat and toil in producing. And here he is bringing a bloodless sacrifice to God. He's standing before God on the grounds of a bloodless offering. And that will never do. And that is why Cain was not accepted. It's interesting that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, we read there that the way of salvation, the way of Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is described as a way. In distinction here to Cain's way, it speaks in our text about having gone in the way of Cain. There's the way of Cain, but then there's the true way into God's presence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Here's the way into God's presence. It's a new and it's a living way. It's a way by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the way that brings us into God's presence. But then there's the way of Cain, that he endeavored to come in his own way, by his own effort, by his own works, rejecting the way of the cross and insisting that he was going to come another way, other than the way that God had decreed. And he was much displeased and annoyed that God had refused. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5 it says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. Cain was very angry that his way was not accepted. But the reason why it was not accepted was he did not come God's way. He did not come the way that was appointed by the Lord of heaven. And if we do not come the way that God has decreed in His Word and appointed in His Word, we will perish. That's a sure way to go. To refuse to come the way that the Lord has ordained in His Word. And He tells us to come through His Son. He tells us that we must be saved. That we must come to know Him as our Savior. We must be washed in the Savior's blood and cleansed from our sins. Then we can enter into heaven. And if we do not come that way, we will perish. And Cain perished. In Genesis 4:16, we read of him there going out of the presence of the Lord to dwell in the land of Nod. And as it was on earth, so it is in eternity. Cain went out from the presence of God, separated from God in life and separated from God in death and separated from God in eternity. All because he would not come the way of. And if you do not come to Jesus Christ and be saved, you'll never be in. You'll be in hell. It's a sure way to go to hell. Hell is populated tonight by those who would not come the way of the cross. Hell is not only populated by those who are gross and wicked sinners, it's populated by multitudes who thought they could come their own way, who thought they were good enough, who thought they could come by their own works and their own efforts and their own righteousness and their own church attendance and whatever else they might have thought that they could bring before God and that He would accept them. Hell is populated by such people. And may even the Lord here in His Word tonight warn us with regards to rejecting the way of the cross. Secondly, I want you to think here about Balaam. And here's another sure way to go to hell. It describes there about those who run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Here are individuals who love the world and the things of the world, who love the ways of the world and, more importantly, the rewards of the world. It tells us in 1 John 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, that can be said of Balaam. Balaam loved the world, and he loved the things of the world, and he put more value on the things of the world than he did upon his soul, and he did upon being right with God. And as a result of loving the world and loving the things of the world, the love of God was not in him. And therefore he perished. He perished. You read about Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, 23 and 24. He was the man who was hired by the king of Moab and also later on by the Midianites. First of all to curse Israel and then to ensnare them so that they might not accomplish their journey to the land of promise and enter into the land of Canaan. Now Balaam knew that when he was asked to go and to curse Israel and to hinder them in making their progress to the land of promise, he knew that he ought not to go. He knew that he ought not to go. And initially he refused. And when Balak sent messengers to him, the king of Moab sent messengers to him and promised him considerable rewards, Balaam refused. Because he knew he ought not to go. He knew he ought not to have any part in anything that would be against the people of God. And in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 12, it says, God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And that's what God told Balaam at the start. Clearly and plainly, God told him, Balaam, you're not to go. You are to have no part in cursing this people, for they are a people blessed of God. And do not put yourself on the wrong side of God. But Balaam went, nevertheless, because Balak tried another time. The king of Moab came again with messengers, made even greater promises of reward. And in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 17, Balak told Balaam, I will promote thee unto very great honor, if you will only come and do this. Oh, he had promised him rewards beforehand. But now he's upping the rewards and increasing them and making greater promises. And he's saying to Balaam, I will give you great honor. I will reward you more than you can ever imagine if you just come and do as you're being exhorted to come and curse the people of God. And even though he knew he ought not to go, even though God directly spoke to Balaam and told him he was not to go and curse this people because they were blessed, nevertheless, Balaam went. And why did he go? Because he wanted the reward. He wanted the reward of disobedience. As it is described here in this text of Scripture in the book of Jude, about those who run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. We've thought about Balaam being spoken to by God directly. And how many go down to a lost eternity having heard the word of God, having heard the way of salvation, the Lord having spoken to them and challenging them about what they ought to do and what they ought not to do. How many go on and perish, even though they've heard the word of God to their heart? And why do they go on? Why do they neglect the word of God? Why do they not want to take heed and obey what God has to say in His word and turn to Christ and be saved? It's because they love the world. And more particularly, they love the reward of the world. Because that's what got the better of Balaam. It was his greed. They have run greedily, it says, after the heir of Balaam for reward. They have loved the reward of the world. And they have agreed in their heart for that reward. And they want that reward. And as a result, they will not listen to the Lord, nor listen to His word. And that's what set Balaam on the course that he, even though he had been told, even though initially he said he would not go, he gave in, he relented. Because in his heart there was this craving and this desire, this longing for the things of the world. And he wanted the reward. Turn back there just a few pages in your Bible to 2 Peter and chapter 2. And there's a comment here about Balaam. It's in the context of the very same thing about false prophets and false teachers. And here's Balaam brought in as an example again. And in verse 15, 2 Peter chapter 2, and verse 15, it says, "Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." So here's Peter talking, and as I say, in the very same way that Jude is speaking about those that are false prophets, those that were not preaching the truth, and he says they've done exactly the same as Balaam has done. And here Peter describes this man as, first of all, having forsaken the right way and having gone astray, and they followed another way. It's the way of Balaam. And what was the way of Balaam? It's the way of loving the wages of unrighteousness, loving the rewards of the world, wanting the trinkets of the world, the pleasures of the world, the fleeting pastimes of the world that will take a soul ultimately down to hell, because Balaam perished. You'll remember that statement that Balaam made when he did go, and when he was taken up to the mountain and he looked over the valley and he saw all Israel there camped in the valley beneath, and he said, "Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his." You see, Balaam wanted to die in a particular way. He wanted to die like the people of God. He wanted to die like those who were blessed of God. Because remember, as we have said, God told him, "This people are blessed. And don't you curse them. Don't you say anything against them. They're a people that are blessed." And when Balaam stood that day on that hill and he looked down the valley and he saw all of Israel camped there below, he was looking down on a people whom he knew were blessed. And he said, "Let me die the death of the rich and let my last end be." He looked down upon a people blessed of God and he said, "I want to die like they did. I want to die blessed of God. I want to die favored of God." Well, did he? Did Balaam die like the righteous? Did Balaam die in the fashion that he wanted to, and that he even expressed there in those words? He didn't. He didn't. He died among the ungodly. Turn over to Numbers chapter 31, because here's another reference to this man. After those earlier chapters in Numbers that deal with him being brought by Balak to curse Israel, here he's now found among the Midianites. Numbers chapter 31, he's now found among the Midianites, and they're the enemies of God. And the Lord commands Israel, Numbers chapter 31, verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterwards shalt thou be gathered unto thy people." So the Israelites are told they're to go out and fight against the Moabites and avenge the honour of God against the Midianites. And afterwards the Lord says, "Moses, you're going to die. A righteous man is going to die. A good man is going to die after this, but it's not going to be Balaam." Remember what Balaam said? "Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his." Well, there's going to be death here. There's fact, there's going to be death of a righteous man and there's going to be the death of an unrighteous man. Moses is going to be the righteous man who's going to die. Balaam is going to die an unrighteous. Look at verse 8. The battle has taken place. And there, we'll maybe read verse 7. "And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males and they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, five kings of Midian." And then look at this statement: "Balaam, also the son of Beor, they slew with." Balaam dies among the ungodly. Balaam dies among the enemies of God. Balaam doesn't die a righteous man at all. He doesn't die blessed of God. He dies among the ungodly. Moses is the righteous man who will die. after not Balaam. And why has Balaam perished? Because, as we're told over here in our text and also there in Peter, in the reference, here is a man who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Here is a man who has a greed for the things of this world upon him. He wants the things of the world, and he's going to reject the things of God. That's a sure way to go to hell, the way of Balaam. Remember, a man who has heard God speak to him, a man who's been told what he ought to do, and he won't listen, and he won't obey God. Well, how many are like that? You can sit in this meeting, and you can be like that. You can hear the Lord's word to your heart speaking to you about your need of being saved, and you can determine, I'm not going to come to Christ. I want the praise of the world. What would others think of me if I was to tell them I got saved? Or I want some particular sin? I'm not going to give it up. How many are lost because of some pet sin? Some pet sin they won't give up. Some little pleasure that they delight in and that they will hold on to and they will cling to and they will keep, and it'll take them down to hell. They'll perish like Balaam. They'll not die among the righteous, blessed of God and death. They'll die like the ungodly, the unconverted. Will that be you? Well, may the Lord speak to you. And then here, thirdly, in this verse 11, there's mention made of Korah. And as I say, the spelling is slightly different here in the New Testament language. But it's that man Korah that's mentioned along with others in Numbers chapter 16. And we read here about those that perished in the gainsaying of Korah. In the gainsaying of Korah. Now there were others along with him. We read of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. There was one other man as well. Sometimes the forgotten man, but the wise man. Because there was a fourth individual. His name was On. And he realized the folly of what was going on, and he got out. He forsook his other friends and left them, and he was spared. But there's others who went on. Korah was the ringleader. And that's why he's mentioned here in Jude verse 11. He's the ringleader. He ought to have known better. He was a Levite. The others were of the tribe of Reuben. They were camped beside each other. It's one of those little incidental details of the Bible that just underscore inspiration. How, if you look, mark out where the tribes were camped around the tabernacle, and then where the Levites, the different families of the Levites, were camped around the tabernacle, the family of Korah and the tribe of Reuben were camped on the same side of the tabernacle. And there's this plan they concocted. You can just imagine the talking that went on among them. We don't like what Moses did. We don't like Aaron and the position that this man Aaron has. Why can't we all be prophets? Why can't we all be priests? Why does it have to be Moses? Who's the man of God? Why is it he's the one that brings the word of the Lord to us? Why can we not be prophets in Israel? Why can we not be all like priests, like high priests as Aaron was? And they fermented rebellion. There was 250 others that joined with them in that act of rebellion. And they rose up against Moses and they rose up against Aaron. And they challenged their authority and they rejected it. And in Numbers chapter 16 verse 3, here's what they said. Ye take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among you. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation. They believed, as I say, anybody could be a prophet and anybody could be a priest. And Korah, that was the ringleader. Of all the people, he ought to have known better. He was a Levite. He ought to have known better. And yet here he is leading this rebellion against Moses and against Aaron, and insinuating that anybody can be a priest and anybody can be a prophet in Israel. And he would reject God's appointed prophet and God's appointed priest. Because that's what Moses and Aaron were. God put Moses in as the prophet in Israel. God put Aaron into the priest. But is there not there an illustration of a way to go to hell? There's no surer way of going to hell than rejecting God's appointed prophet in the greatest sin, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is the work of a prophet to represent God with men and to bring the word of God unto mankind. And is that not what the Lord Jesus Christ has done? He's come into this world and he is the prophet. He has brought the word of God unto men. He has revealed God himself in his own person because he is the Son of God. He has revealed God unto this world. And God requires in his word, he requires that we turn to him and repent of sin. He requires that we give up all of those things that would keep us back from coming to know him. But there are those who want a different message. There are those who want an easier message. They want smooth things. They want deceits preached to them. They don't want to hear of what the Lord has to say about sin and the fact that it needs to be repented of and it needs to be forsaken. They don't want to hear that. They want a different way. The work of the priest is to represent men with God. It's the opposite of a prophet. The priest represents men with God in order to reconcile an offending sinner to an offended God. And is that not what Jesus Christ did on the cross? Aaron was just a picture of Jesus Christ. Christ is the great priest, the one who represents men with God, the one who gave his life himself in order to pay the penalty of sin. But how many there are like Korah who don't want to hear of what Jesus Christ has to say, who despise his person, who won't acknowledge him at all for who he is. And they're set against the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas already highlighted these individuals in verse 4 there of his epistle, how they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny Jesus Christ. They deny his sonship. They deny his divinity. They don't want to know him. They won't acknowledge him. Well, Korah perished. We read about that day when the earth actually opened up and swallowed him and his family and the others. And in Numbers chapter 16, verses 31 and 32, we read about those who went alive down into the pit. They didn't even die physically. The earth just opened up and they went down into hell. They went down into the pit. And that's the end of all those who turn away from Jesus Christ and who devise another means of coming unto God. It ends in the same thing. Jude verse 11 says of those who perished in the gainsaying of they perished. And tonight if you turn away from Jesus Christ, you'll perish. If you do not take Christ as your Savior, you'll perish. If you do not come as a sinner to him and believe his word when he tells you, you must repent and believe the gospel. It can't be any clearer than that. And may the Lord write it on your heart tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost that you'll perish if you don't come to Christ. And how near are you to perish? You do not know that. None of us know how near we are today. None of us know that. And if you're not saved and if you have not come to Christ and what we have been thinking here about Cain and Balaam and Korah characterizes you tonight, then how near you are to perish. Remember what we started off there in verse 11 by saying there's a woe pronounced. Woe, woe unto them. And tonight may you learn that there's a woe and that you need to flee to Christ and you need to come to and seek. And may tonight you forsake your own way and come to Christ. Come the way of the cross. That's how to get there. It's through the way of the cross. It's through what Jesus Christ did. He shed his blood to cancel the debt of sin and he shed his blood to cleanse you from your sin. Now come to Christ ere you perish. May the Lord bless his word tonight.